most busted in Laredo, but for reasons that I'd rather not disclose.
I smoke pot, and I like it a lot. Hi, this is Willie Nelson. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer to use than alcohol. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting responsible marijuana smokers in America. And to learn what you can do to help, please contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORMAL.
The show was long and we were just sitting there, and we'd come to play and not just for the ride.
Distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular audio podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about the show at our website, normalaudiostash.com. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. Welcome back to the Audio Stash today, Friday, April 13th, Friday the 13th. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Take a moment to join us at Normal to end marijuana prohibition in America. Just visit norml.org. We have a most excellent show for you here today. We're going to talk about taxes. We'll have our CelebStoner.com update from Steve Bloom and some great music for you for this Friday and over the weekend. First up today, let's open up our stash with news from Normal. Today from Washington, D.C., Normal affiliates to protest pot prohibition on tax day. On Monday, April 16th, 2007, Normal chapters around the country will hold protests at their local post offices to call on elected officials to tax and regulate cannabis in a manner similar to alcohol and tobacco. More from Normal's executive director, Alan St. Pierre.
No day is more appropriate for America's citizens to protest their government's criminalization of cannabis than tax day. Cannabis consumers may be the only community in America who are demanding the federal government to tax and regulate our product of choice.
That was Normal's executive director, Alan St. Pierre, replacing marijuana prohibition with a system of taxation and regulation similar to alcohol could produce combined savings and tax revenues as high as $14 billion per year, St. Pierre said, citing a 2005 study by Boston University economist Jeffrey Myron. A 2006 study reported that cannabis ranks as the top cash crop in 12 states and is worth more than $1 billion per year in 5 states, California, Tennessee, Kentucky, Hawaii, and Washington. Most recently, California's Board of Equalization announced that it will seek to collect taxes on the state's 150 to 200 medical cannabis dispensaries.
This tax day, when millions of Americans are lamenting filing their paperwork for the IRS, federal officials should remember that at least one community is standing up and demanding to be counted.
That was Normal's executive director, Alan St. Pierre. For more information, please contact Normal at area code 202-483-5500 or visit norml.org. And joining us today to talk more about the Tax Day activism for everyone in Normal is the Executive Director of Normal in Washington, Alan St. Pierre. Alan, welcome back to the Audio Stash today.
Good afternoon, Chris.
A wonderful Friday the 13th afternoon it is, too. Now, Alan, many of us are buying programs and running close to the tax deadline, sweating it out for Monday. But tell us why this day is so important for American marijuana smokers to get out there and get involved.
There is no better day in America for marijuana consumers to stand up to the government and say loudly, tax me. What could be a more discordant message in America on tax day than citizens standing up and saying, please tax me? Because ultimately, and at the root of all the discussions that one can have on this podcast, is prohibition and the government's failure to tax and control cannabis. And so as many of us will be giving up, 15 to 20+% of our income to our state and federal governments in the next few days, it is on this day, April 15th, traditionally, tax day, that Normal and marijuana law reformers are in a great position to go out to their local post offices on this most infamous day when local reporters are covering the late filing taxpayers, and there are Normal chapters and there are Normal activists there with signs saying, please tax me, and with big faux checks written out to the U.S. Treasury and signs in the form of dollar bills, and just making it absolutely perfectly clear that on this day when most Americans lament having to pay taxes, Normal and marijuana law reform activists are in the very best position to get their message out to the media. Unless there's a nuclear exchange that day, the 11 o'clock and 10 o'clock news, depending on what news market you're in, is going to lead that night with the post office and the late filers. So it is a prime, what is known as an earned media opportunity. And it also, of all the different and difficulties associated with trying to reform marijuana laws and the complications, whether it's health concerns, medical access, potency of marijuana, youth access, et cetera, this is one of the simplest and clean discussions around marijuana, and that is simply to tax the seller of the product and the individual who buys it.
Now, Alan, when we talk about taxation and regulation of marijuana, let's talk about how this could work. First, how would the tax work for retail marijuana, and would there be some tax for people who choose to grow their own?
Well, good question. And while Normal doesn't hew or strongly feel one way or the other about the distribution, and the board of directors for 20-plus years has debated this, in the end, we favor a model that is similar to the alcohol distribution model in America today. And that is simply put, that if you want to buy alcohol at the retail level to take home and to consume responsibly, there are two models in America. You can go to a state-run liquor store and buy the substance, or you can go to a private licensed business holder, and those individuals are under immense liability and local, state, and federal controls. We don't much care about the distribution at the retail level as long as it would take one of those models. I personally favor a private distribution model rather than having the state be the distributor. When you talk about the consumption model, then we're talking about, again, something that looks very much like alcohol or what we find in the Netherlands, and that is the ability for adults who can prove they're adults can go into the facility and they can use the product responsibly on site, the same way that there are hundreds of thousands of bars and restaurants in the United States that sell liquor and alcohol. And so that is a model that makes a lot of sense. And then regarding your question regarding home consumption of cannabis and potentially growing it, well, there again, the alcohol model serves us pretty well. In this country, very few people will go and make their own beer or their own wine. It is against the law to distill high-potency alcohol. So the model in the United States is, unless you brew over or distill over a certain amount of wine, you can make as much as you want and give it away for no remuneration, without any concern, no tax considerations whatsoever. It's like growing apples or cherries at home. So if an individual wants to go beyond that, then they would need to get licenses and pay taxes and all the rest of it. I think in the end, even though marijuana, many people today, obviously hundreds of thousands of people grow marijuana illegally, I frankly think that that market will shrink really, really fast under a legal controlled market, because the vast amount of products that we consume at a mass retail level, meaning that you and I can go out and make our own jam and jelly if we want. We could grow our own tobacco if we want. We could make our own wine if we want. But very, very few aficionados at best will go out and brew their own beer or distill their own wine. So, and the analogy regarding jams and jellies, most of us are more than happy to pay for the variety available at the supermarket, and very few of us would take the time and the effort and the creativity to do these products at home. So I think in 10 or 20 years, when marijuana is legal, that the home grower will actually be a fairly rare commodity. I mean, I frankly may be one of those individuals, but I think from a commercial statistical point of view, very, very few people will grow marijuana if they can go and purchase it, just like hundreds of thousands of available commercial products today.
So when we talk about taxing marijuana, it's not reinventing the wheel or anything here. Our system is really primed and ready to accept this new product.
Well, in fact, and I think maybe you've heard me lament this before, and we are here a block from the White House, and right next to the White House is the U.S. Treasury Department, and there's a division of that department that most of us have heard of. We at least know the acronym, the ATF. It's usually not held in the highest regards when we usually hear those three letters, acronym, but ATF stands, of course, for alcohol, tobacco, and firearm. Well, all three of those products, by definition, are deadly or very dangerous. And our government surely does not want us necessarily to buy alcohol, to buy tobacco, or to buy guns. But what does the ATF do? It simply controls the distribution of those products through the power of taxation. So they don't opine against those products. They don't demonize or vilify the makers of those products or the end users of them. There is no discussion that any party involved is engaged in moral turpitude. No. They simply collect the taxes on those products. So my great hope is that in my lifetime, we have the, say, MATF.
Alan, this has been great. Thank you again for joining us here today.
My pleasure. Thanks, Chris.
Alan St. Pierre is the executive director of Normal in Washington, D.C., and he'll be joining us again Monday with economist Jeffrey Myron of Boston University to talk more about the taxation and regulation of marijuana. We encourage everyone interested in reform to get out there this Monday and say, tax me. Oh, and do we have some great music for you here today on Normal's Daily Audio Stash. We're going to start things off with this absolute ultra-classic Tax Day song from Dr. Elmo. Maybe you know Dr. Elmo. He's the guy that wrote Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, which has sold like billions of copies around the world. This is off his album Love, Death, and Taxes. This is Don't Mess with the IRS.
You can get away with murder. I've seen it on TV. But tangle with the tax man, and your butt is history. You can push and you can peddle, you can smuggle and embezzle, you can pack a loaded pistol in your purse. You can mug and you can rob, be a member of the mob, be a stalker or a peeping Tom perverse. You can fake remorse and plead insanity, you can get off on a technicality, but don't mess with the IRS. Let me illustrate. Old Al Capone was so well known for his brilliant career in crime. He'd kill, extort, end up in court, but he never done no time. Until one of his contractors didn't get a 1099. Al got a one-way pass to Alcatraz, and he didn't have to stand in line. You can kick and you can throttle, you can blame it on the bottle, you can drive the freeway in a drunken fury. You can beat and you can batter, and it really doesn't matter if your shyster pulls the wool over the jury. You can fake remorse or plead insanity, or you can get off on a technicality, but don't mess with the IRS. Are you with me now? Well, you gotta leave a pretty bloody trail before the FBI gets on your tail. But spill some coffee on your W-2, the IRS will be all over you. You can riot, you can loot, you can poison and pollute, you can barbecue and eat a spotted owl. You can spill and you can spew toxic substances askew until the air and water runs afoul. You can fake remorse or plead insanity, and you can get up on a technicality. You're disgruntled with your boss and so you kill him. You went postal because you saw it in a film. After you molested everyone you could, they just move you to a different neighborhood. You can stab your ex because you love your soul. If you're famous, adios, you're free to go. You can choke your coach until you make him croak. If you're a muggy muck, it's okey-doke. If you lead us into economic growth, we don't mind a little fibbing under oath. But if you need an opening to get away on a federally funded holiday, go on and mess with the kinder, more caring IRS. Right off!
Dr. Elmo there with Don't Mess with the IRS. We got that song off of podshow.com. We have links to Dr. Elmo's albums up on our website today at normalaudiostash.com. Now it's time to check in with our celeb stoner update with Steve Bloom.
I want to be famous. I want to wear minks and satins and pearls.
Steve Bloom is the man with his finger on the celebrity pulse of America up at celebstoner.com, and he joins us Fridays here on The Stash to catch up with famous folk who enjoy a toke. Steve, welcome back to the Audio Stash today.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
Doing great here on Friday the 13th, man. First up at celebstoner.com, you have a story of a New York City comic who fell prey to the marijuana in public view enforcement in the city there, Rob Cantrell. Tell us what happened there.
Yeah, Rob Cantrell's a local New York comic, and he's actually appeared in the marijuana logs when they need a substitute player. One of the three marijuana logs guys can't make one of the gigs around the country, and Rob actually has done a couple of fill-in gigs. And I've met Rob kind of through the community of pod comics that's developed over the last couple of years, and I've met him at a couple of shows around New York. And Rob got in touch with me recently and said that he got busted for a roach. Basically, he was outside a club in New York and was standing outside with a violinist who was somebody who he had just performed at this club, and just walked around the corner to smoke. And next thing you know, he's there are two strangers that come up and say, hey, what's up, blah, blah, blah. Next thing you know, they're breaking out their badges, and they're, telling them, to get up against the wall, and they start getting searched. And Rob had a one-hitter on him, and that was basically what they got him for. He had thrown the roach to the floor or the ground, and I guess they might have picked it up. But, it was just a minimal amount. And, in New York these days, pretty much, from the beginning of Giuliani's era and now through Bloomberg, arrests have skyrocketed, and they continue at a pretty high level under Bloomberg, which was reported recently by Paul Armentano when he had that report that there were 32,000 arrests in New York in 2006, which is an increase over previous years. It had gone down, the arrest totals, after 9/11 when police had other things to do, and now it's sort of climbing back up. So people like Rob are falling into the net, where police like to, patrol the streets, especially places like the Lower East Side, and where Rob was, or the East Village area. and grab people, pick people off, send them in for the night, and then pretty much what they tend to do is they put you in jail for about a 24-hour period. They make you, you know, be in a cell with a lot of other, you know, perhaps criminals, and you have to kind of see what life is like for an hour, for a day or so, you know, behind bars, and then they let you go, and generally it's dismissed. I'll have to ask Rob what will be the next step, whether he actually has a hearing or any kind of follow-up. But I've heard these stories so many times from people who've been arrested on the streets in New York that it's, you know, it's like kind of a deterrent. You know, they're trying to sort of prevent people from doing it again by putting them through the system, giving them a scare, and then throwing them back out into the street and saying, like, don't do it again. You know, it's like a slap on the wrist, but you have to go through this process of, you know, being in a New York grimy jail cell for 24 hours or more, and Rob just went through that. So Rob is actually starting a series of shows in New York in May called the Chronic Comedy at the Comics Club, C-O-M-I-X, Comics. So it'll be interesting to see what Rob has to say. I think this is, you know, he's a kind of guy who I think this experience, he wants to let people know, you know, instead of hiding about it, he wants people to know that, hey, this happened to me and it's happening to a lot of other people here. And as was reported by Paul Armentano, you know, the arrest totals are increasing in New York and people should be aware of that.
Also, Steve, on CelebStoner.com, you have this pretty wild story about some totally over-the-top anti-marijuana ads in Australia. And these ads, you know, they don't even look like they make sense.
Well, there's a in New South Wales, which is a state in eastern Australia, has started an anti-cannabis campaign targeting teenagers. And, you know, you can't really make this stuff up when you read something like this. I mean, the advertisement carries the tagline, "Pot, it mightn't kill you, but it could turn you into a dickhead." So you just got to laugh at that one because you don't really know what they're thinking. You know, I mean, what are they thinking? This is a government campaign using the term dickhead. What do they mean? You know, I really, it goes a little bit beyond my comprehension as to what they're even referring to. You become a bad person. You won't die, but you'll become a bad person. I presume dickhead is referring to, you know, being, you know, not the best person in life. So, I mean, it's just so absurd. I mean, marijuana doesn't make you, you know, become a bad person. You know, it doesn't really make you become one thing or another other than hopefully a more creative person. So, you know, it's a little ridiculous, but have a little fun with that one.
You know, and you know, we talked last week about this sort of downing on hippies and things like that. I mean, do you think that this is a sort of, you know, a media campaign to get citizens who, you know, don't enjoy marijuana to really sort of attack and sort of be aggressively downing on those who do?
Oh, yeah, no question. I mean, they're just doing it in a ridiculous fashion. I mean, the individual who was quoted in the paper said there's no safe level of cannabis use. So, you know, their belief is, you know, marijuana is very negative, and they're doing what they can to, you know, steer people away from it with a ridiculous campaign. You know, I think, you know, stuff like this will just make people laugh more than anything else. They're not going to take, you know, an anti-drug campaign seriously when, you know, when this type of language is being used. I mean, here in the U.S., I think if that happened, you know, it would be a huge, you know, kind of controversy, and they'd have to pull the ads immediately. I don't know if there's a controversy really developing down there over this. There should be.
And, Steve, a celebrity marijuana story that has been, like, top entertainment news this week all over the Internet is with Kirsten Dunst. Now, give us a rundown of what's happening there.
Well, yes, Mary Jane loves marijuana. As everybody knows, she plays the Mary Jane role on the Spider-Man series. And by the way, Spider-Man 3 is coming out in the spring or late spring. Kirsten Dunst was being interviewed in England, and I'm not sure how it came up, but I guess she was probably asked the standard question, do you drink, do you do drugs, blah, blah, blah. And so her answer was, I drink moderately, I've tried drugs, I do like weed. I have a different outlook on marijuana than America does. My best friend Sasha's dad was Carl Sagan, the astronomer. He was the biggest pot smoker in the world, and he was a genius. I've never been a major smoker, but I think America's view on weed is ridiculous. I mean, are you kidding me? If everyone smoked weed, the world would be a better place. So that was just a great comment, and a bit of a surprise. No one had really known that Kirsten was a marijuana enthusiast, but now we know.
And while we've seen a bunch of celebrities photographed with marijuana, it's not too often that an A-lister like Kirsten speaks out about pot.
Not that often. Also recently, there was actually a comment made by Nora Jones recently that she likes to smoke pot, and especially because it gets her the munchies. So, you know, there are other women out there in the celebrity world who, you know, discuss marijuana. And, you know, recently it's been photographs that have been revealing use by people like Cameron Diaz, Drew Barrymore, Misha Barton. So photos like that have been floating around the Internet. So it's nice to see. I mean, there are a lot of stoner starlets out there, you know, who smoke marijuana, and it's been documented before. High Times has done some articles in the past on that subject, and it's probably warranted to do another one because more and more of them are coming out of the closet.
And also, Steve, you're covering this Snoop Dogg case at CelebStoner.com where he pleaded no contest this week in California. You know, but his lawyer issued a pretty interesting statement about Snoop and pot.
Yeah, well, first of all, you know, this case goes back to October when Snoop Dogg was at the Bob Hope Airport in Burbank and was parked illegally, and police came over to move him along and must have smelled marijuana coming out of the car, so they proceeded to do a search, found marijuana and a gun, and arrested him for both. And Snoop Dogg has a record going back to when he went to jail for cocaine sale when he was in his teens, so he's a felon. And so they've been kind of chasing after him for you know, use guns, and also the people he's been hanging out, other felons. And then a month later, they followed him coming out of the Jay Leno Tonight Show appearance, and also you know, arrested him again for pretty much the same charges. So both of those charges, he was given felony charges on Tuesday of this week, and then on Wednesday he went in for an arraignment, and he pretty much copped a plea. So it's over. Those charges are done with. And basically what he's agreed to do is to he has a 3-year suspended sentence, 5 years probation, and will be performing 800 hours of community service. Most of that will be done through his Snoop Football League, his youth league. And so I don't know. You know, I'm sure he's going to be drug tested. I'm sure he's going to little bit of a problem remaining as high profile around marijuana. We'll see what he does, although there's a really cool photograph of him in the new issue of the National Enquirer wearing weed leaf slippers. Should go take a look at them. They're very colorful, and they have big weed leaves on them. And, you know, it's going to be hard for Snoop Dogg to back off, you know, his support of marijuana. He's so upfront about it, so I'm not sure what he's going to do. He's probably going to just have to really lay low and stop smoking in the vehicle and parking illegally at airports. As far as his use is concerned, his lawyer stated in the latest article, you know, that came out yesterday about Snoop Dogg's plea, that he uses marijuana for migraines, that he has migraine headaches, and that's why he smokes. So, you know, whether that's true or not, I don't know, and whether you're just trying to put it out there so that it's, you know, there's some other reason why Snoop Dogg smokes marijuana other than for recreational uses. But everybody out in California these days has a medical use, and I wouldn't be surprised if Snoop has his own medical card.
Yeah, and this is the first time anyone has said anything about Snoop Dogg using marijuana medicinally.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, for, you know, especially out in California, you know, people understand that it's available out there for medicinal reasons. And, you know, this is not phony. This is not making something up. I mean, I believe, you know, if you have insomnia, you don't get to sleep very well at night, and you smoke marijuana and it gets you to sleep, that's a medical use. And that would be, say, one of the most simpler uses of marijuana, that you could go to the doctor and say, listen, I just don't sleep very well, and, you know, I'd rather smoke marijuana than taking, you know, a sleeping pill. So stuff like that, you know. But, you know, for other, you know, more known, you know, uses, you know, for all the different diseases and ailments that marijuana is good for. And in the case of migraines, yes, it does help. I have a good friend who has migraines, and he's used marijuana over the years for it. And, you know, it's a careful kind of use. It's not like a day-to-day. You kind of use it just right when the pains are kind of hitting. And I didn't know that Snoop Dogg had migraines, but now that we do know, now we understand a little bit more about his use. It, you know, without joking about it, you know, maybe this is very true, you know, that it really does help him out, and he's learned, you know, over the years that it's beneficial. And, you know, and if he does, you know, use it for such purpose, and he doesn't have a medical card, he should go get one.
And Steve, it really has been a couple of banner weeks for celeb stoner news out there. There just seems to be more and more of these stories about this strain of news coming out there?
Well, we're digging it out. It's there, you know. But what I find interesting is all the women coming out in favor of marijuana lately. We've noticed that mostly in photographs, but, you know, by the photographs occurring, a lot of the celebrity stoner females out there, like Cameron Diaz and Misha Barton, you know, people like that who've been photographed smoking marijuana in recent, and Drew Barrymore, people like that. We've been coming up with a lot of photos or finding them on the web. So, you know, there haven't been that many commentaries, but, you know, Kirsten, you know, is sort of leading the way. It's sort of nice. We need women like her, young Hollywood starlets, you know, to lead the way a bit in this area. It helps. It puts the onus on others to, you know, figure out, you know, again, why marijuana is remains to be illegal. And you get, you know, young, intelligent people like Kirsten stepping forward and, you know, questioning, you know, the current policies. And, you know, it just can't hurt. You know, it's good news anytime someone like her steps forward. You know, actually, going with Kirsten is kind of interesting. It doesn't surprise me 100%. You know, Kirsten was at South by Southwest, and she was bopping around the music festival, going to see shows, hanging out with some band members, and kind of partying and so-called canoodling with some band guys. And I was at one of the last shows of South by Southwest, which was the Stooges reunion show with Iggy Pop, and at one point, some woman who, you know, I just was hanging out with, a friend of a friend, came over and said, a celebrity in the bathroom just asked for marijuana. And I said, who? And she goes, Kirsten Dunst. And it turns out it was a friend of Kirsten's who was, like, saying, hey, does anybody have any pot? So I, you know, told a friend of mine who was, you know, a woman, you know, I said, you better go, you know, go to the bathroom or whatever. And, you know, I gave her, like, I sent her a text message saying, hey, I heard this. But we never were able to track Kirsten down in the venue that night. But so it's kind of coincidental and appropriate, you know, that she was looking for weed that night, and I hope she found it. And of course, now, you know, she's more than entitled.
Well, Steve, it is always great to catch up with you on all these celeb stoners out there. Thanks again for joining us here today.
All right. Thank you very much, Chris.
Steve Bloom is the author of the site celebstoner.com. We have links to it on our website today at normalaudiostash.com. Steve joins us every Friday right here on the Audio Stash. This has been Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. You listen to the Audio Stash, vote for us at Podcast Alley or other podcast directory services. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. Everyone have a fun summer weekend out there, and we're back at 4:20 on Monday. Podcasting technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.